The Orange FM.
Ready to form Voltron. Activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected. Infracell up. Mega thrusters are go.
Welcome, Voltron fans. I am Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. This is our special San Diego Comic-Con podcast episode, recapping the events of last weekend at what is also known as Comic-Con International. Over 250,000 ticket holders, exhibitors, VIPs, guests, panelists, volunteers, security, and emergency personnel were packed into the San Diego Convention Center, the surrounding hotels, Petco Park, downtown San Diego, and various outdoor promotions for things like NBC TV shows, The Simpsons, Assassin's Creed, and Gotham on Fox. My wife and I were there to capture interviews and panels for various animated shows and movies for ToonBarn.com, and we were pulling double shifts for Let's Voltron. I do the interviews, and Kim works the camera. This was our 11th convention in the last 3 years and our second at San Diego. Since we arrived a day early, we arranged to meet with Franklin Kofod. You remember him as the director of the original series. Well, he has family in San Diego, so he picked us up at our hotel and drove us to the Pacific Coast and up to a vista point at Cabrillo National Monument. Wow, what a view! You could see everything from that point. We took a few pictures, so you'll get a glimpse of what we saw, and we're putting that on the podcast notes page for you. Now, later, we drove down to the Gaslamp Quarter downtown and visited the Chuck Jones Gallery. Now, as we're looking at the original paintings and cells from Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes to Tom and Jerry, Dr. Seuss, Disney, Alex Ross, Franklin tells us a story about when he met Tex Avery, the creator of Droopy and other cartoon classics. Now, we didn't buy anything, but we wanted everything. Now, we had lunch with Franklin at an outdoor table of a cafe in the Gaslamp Quarter, and we talked about Voltron. Of course, you know, both the old and the new Voltron. And he told us stories about working on Battle of the Planets and the satisfaction he gets from pulling everything together like Voltron to make those TV shows. Well, we parted ways and said goodbye, but we were both hoping good things for the future of the Voltron franchise. He is such an amazing guy and a supreme gentleman, and I now consider him to be a friend. Thank you, Franklin, for spending time with us in San Diego. All right, we're just about to let you listen in on an exclusive interview we had with Claire Grant at the Man of Action booth on the exhibit hall floor at San Diego Comic-Con. But I need to set this up for you first. Our interview with Claire Grant was set for Thursday at noon. The night before, Hitfix.com was sponsoring a Star Wars Rebels kickoff party, only for invited guests. So thanks to Tracy Canabio at Lucasfilm, we were able to get an invitation. Open bar. People coming around with trays, serving gourmet food. Cosplayers from the 501st Legion walking around. People getting pictures with them and other VIPs. It was really nice. Everyone involved with the Star Wars Rebels animated show on Disney XD was there. The voice cast, the producers, the animators, the artists, everyone. Lots of friends of Star Wars were there as well, like Steve Sansweet, Zachary Levy. And of course, Claire Grant and her husband, Seth Green, walk in, and they come over to say hi to Dave Filoni, the executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. Well, since I was going to be interviewing Claire the next day, I introduced myself so she could put a name to a face for the interview. We immediately started talking about Voltron, and Seth's ears must have been ringing. Did somebody say Voltron? He turns around and Claire introduces me. They both told me the story about his Valentine's Day gift of a diecast Voltron he gave her all the way from Japan. She'll tell that story about how he tracked it down so he could get the one that she always wanted. They are really a great couple with talent overflowing, and they are two of the biggest Voltron fans on the planet. Claire is an actor that has over 42 credits in movies and TV. She's a co-founder of Team Unicorn and will soon be starring in and producing a pilot episode for Adult Swim called Team Unicorn's Saturday Action Fun Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Claire Grant. Hi, this is Mark Morrell. I'm the host of Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast, and I'm here at San Diego Comic-Con 2014, and I'm here with Claire Grant, an actress, co-founder of Team Unicorn, and a huge Voltron fan. Welcome,
yes,
Claire.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we are here at the Man of Action booth at the exhibit hall floor, okay?
Yes.
And Man of Action, of course, has done things like Ben 10 and Marvel Avengers Assemble and Ultimate Spider-Man.
I played Titania on Avengers Assemble.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of voice work, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what else have you done? I know you did some things on Robot Chicken, obviously.
Yeah,
as well, right?
And I originated a bounty hunter on Star Wars The Clone Wars called Lazzarazzi.
Oh, cool.
And I did voices for Mad and, I don't know. Oh, Hulk. Hulk and the Agents of Smash. I voiced Titania on that as well.
Nice.
And I did Black Widow on a Marvel Iron Man movie.
Oh, so would you say Titania's your character?
Yeah.
Nobody else can do it?
Not like me.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you're also involved with Team Unicorn, obviously.
Yes.
And they're coming out with a new show called Action Hour, right?
The Team Unicorn Saturday Action Fun Hour.
Oh, wow. That's a...
Saturday Action Fun Hour!
That's quite a long title, isn't it?
Yes, I love it.
All right. So what happens in that show?
Well, it's a live action animation hybrid, mostly animation with live action bookends, and it's sort of like the A-Team, that sort of setup.
Nice.
You know, and it's basically like a Saturday morning cartoon show, you know.
Okay.
From back in the 80s, and it's a culmination of all of our favorite Saturday morning shows, and I mean, obviously it's heavily Voltron influenced.
Oh, good.
I mean, all of our robot unicorns come together to form a giant robot unicorn.
All right, awesome.
Yeah.
When do we get to see this for the first time?
Oh, hopefully soon. We're just wrapping up the pilot now. We should deliver it next month.
I mean, I've seen some
and then it's
some
up to Adult Swim what they do with it after that, but, you know.
Oh, is that where it's going to be?
Yes.
Okay.
With Adult Swim. We're going to show a trailer for it here at Comic-Con at the Robot Chicken panel.
Awesome. Awesome. So look out for that one.
Yes.
All right. So I'd like to get into a little bit about your Voltron.
Yes.
Fandom. All right. When did you start getting involved with Voltron?
I honestly don't remember a time in my life where I didn't love Voltron. I remember being a kid and it came on in the mornings before school, and it was the only thing that my brother and I both agreed on. Mm-hmm. That we would be allowed to watch together, because, you know, other than that, it was like My Little Pony, and he was really into G.I. Joe, and me not so much, but we both loved Voltron, so we watched that together, and I would throw temper tantrums if my mom made me leave before the episode was over, and it was over right when school was supposed to start, so I was pretty much late every day.
Wow. All right, so... what was the first time that you actually got to have something that had Voltron on it, some kind of Voltron merchandise? What was the first thing you ever got?
Well, when I was a kid, I begged my mom for that metal, you know, Voltron, where the lions came apart and then came together to form Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got that. That was too expensive for my mom. So I had one of those little plastic guys that didn't move, about this size.
Mm-hmm.
But then later... when Seth and I started dating, for my very first Valentine's Day present, he tracked down one of those original metal Voltrons, but he tracked down one of the original Japanese ones and had it shipped to America for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's my prized possession. I was like, I'm keeping you.
Where do you keep that?
In my office. I have an entire wall dedicated to my Voltron fandom.
Okay, now, is it also true that You have
he's my freebie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
I have a free pass with Voltron.
So what does Seth have a free pass with?
Nothing.
Nothing.
With Claire Grant.
Okay.
That's what he gets a free pass for.
Okay. All right. So we also know that you made a little contribution to the Voltron 30th anniversary book as well.
I did, yes.
What did you do there?
I wrote a love letter as my, you know, six-year-old self to Voltron, talking about how much I wanted to have little robot babies. And did it in crayon and put some really amazing stickers all over it. You know, it's pretty great.
Okay. Well, over the years, obviously it's been 30 years since Voltron came out. And people are rediscovering it through being able to see it on YouTube. And it's on, like, Hulu Plus. It's on Netflix. It's on a whole bunch of things. We didn't have that opportunity when we were kids.
No.
To be able to see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to tell somebody, okay, I want you to check out Voltron, what are you going to tell them to look at first?
I'd tell them to start with the original animated show from the 80s. It was the greatest. That happened in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 84, maybe?
No, right.
Yeah. I would tell them to start there. The Lion Voltron is my favorite. Obviously, you need to watch the Car Voltron episodes, Vehicle Voltron.
Right.
Just so you can understand that. And then they had some really great crossover episodes that I
there was
remember.
The Fleet of Doom special.
Yeah, right. I loved it. That moment where Pidge, I forgot what Vehicle Voltron's version of Pidge was.
It was Chip. It was his
Chip,
younger
was
brother.
Was that his name? Oh, it was his younger brother.
Yeah.
I remember the moment where they met each other in that dark hallway so vividly. It's like, oh, how cute. They're together.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to do that. And then I also really loved this latest Voltron show.
Voltron Force.
Yeah, Voltron Force. I loved it. I loved that you got to learn about the magic of Voltron and the history, and I thought those new characters were really cool, and I loved combining new pilots with the original pilots, but the original pilots became like the teachers.
Right.
I thought that was really cool.
Right, because it followed after the original series.
Yeah.
And it brought on the cadets.
Yeah.
And you got to see them actually become Voltron pilots by the end of that first season.
And you know,
which was the end of any season.
So good. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, we
and
wanted
then
more.
Also, I wanted more too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's also a Voltron short. You know the one I'm talking about? The Voltron live-action short that a fan made? Well,
are you talking about the Red Lion one?
Yes.
With Timothy Olmundson.
Yes. I loved that.
Yeah.
I loved that so much. I wish that they had enough money and time to be able to pull out of the cockpit and actually see the Red Lion in space. That would have been so rad.
Right. Yeah, so over the years, there's been a lot of things that has included Voltron that has made Voltron a part of pop culture. And, of course, you know, Seth has contributed to that by putting things on
Robot Chicken. The dance-off that
the
he
dance
had.
Off.
With Sailor Moon, right?
Right.
Yeah, so Sailor Moon's my favorite character in history ever. I need to be her. And it made me so happy when I saw them having the dance-off together. It was great. It was the greatest.
And then there was a Vehicle Voltron one where it took too long for Vehicle Voltron to come together because
there were 15, so many vehicles.
15 vehicles coming into one, and they weren't able to save the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, there's been Sprite commercials over the years that have included rap artists. There's been NBA All-Stars that have come together in different forms or another.
So good.
It's just become a part of pop culture. And it's become a part of pop culture to say forming like Voltron or coming together like Voltron.
Team Unicorn has done two music videos, one original song and one parody. And we talk about Voltron in both of them. And even one of them, we say we came together like the Lions of Voltron in Comic-Con, because that's actually how Team Unicorn all became friends and where it was born.
Right, and you mentioned that on the Team Unicorn Facebook page.
Yes.
And that is so cool that this thing that was a cartoon back in 1984 has become part of your, you know, your daily life.
Well, you know, so many people that grew up in the 80s, they're the people who are creating what's pop culture now.
Right.
And so they're taking the things that they grew up with and that they love the most and influence them, and they're honoring it in amazing ways. So we get a lot of influence from Voltron now and everything.
Right, and you guys were also invited to be part of, there were a couple things. There was the THQ video game that came out.
Yeah.
And you went to the kickoff
yes.
show for that. And you got to meet
the original
voice actors, right?
Oh, it was so great. There were so many pictures of me just gleeful and joyous to be there. It's pretty awesome.
And it was Michael Bell, it was BJ Ward, and Neil Ross.
Yeah.
Did you say anything to them? What did you say?
I did. I told them all that I loved them and that they were like the definition of my childhood, and it was such an honor to meet them. I got to do it with the rest of my Team Unicorn girls. It was really fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've been on Comic-Con panels for Voltron as well.
Yeah, we did, I think a couple years ago, we did a Voltron panel together.
Right, Jeremy invited you to come along. And what was it that they were trying to promote at that time?
I think it was the show.
It was the Voltron
yeah,
Force
it was
show.
Voltron Force.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we were hearing tinges about a possible live action movie at the time,
which
right?
Which would make my life.
Yeah, it would make all of our lives, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, every Voltron fan out there. What's the matter? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Do we have to wrap it up soon?
Oh, we're yeah, a fellow Team Unicorn member,
did,
Riley.
Did you want to bring her on?
Oh, she. Do you want to come? Okay. Come over here and talk about Voltron with me?
I mean, Voltron. Sure, Voltron. Yeah. I like that you're holding Voltron.
I love him.
No one can see this, but you're holding Voltron.
Camera.
Oh yes. For sure.
All right. So now we have half of the whole team, right?
We do. We have half the team. Yeah.
Can you introduce, please?
This is Riley Vanderbilt.
Hi, hey, Riley.
Hi, I'm here. I'm just was walking by and saw my fellow unicorn. And was like, oh, I'll stop and say hello.
Okay.
I'll stop and crash her podcast.
Did you know she was going to be here?
She might have texted me.
Oh, okay.
I might have been in line getting my pass. And she's like, I'm here. You can meet me at the room. I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, I'll meet you.
So what happens if this show on Adult Swim really takes off? What are you guys going to do?
We are going to beg Voltron to let Voltron come and guest on our show.
Oh, stop it.
All we want is Voltron to be our TV boyfriend. I know, right?
Can that happen?
I know, right? It's like
happen?
My dream.
Can that happen, please?
I hope
ponies
so.
Ponies and lions. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be good.
It's great.
Now, you've got, like, all kinds of shows lined up for this, right? Who's doing all the writing for this?
Well, we have really talented writers. Dan Milano, who is the creator of Greg the Bunny and also writes on Robot Chicken and a plethora of other amazing shows. He's credited as the main writer on the pilot, which is great. And he would probably lead the room in the actual series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we help. We add a lot of creative points and influence, but... They're amazing. They do all the writing and make us look really good.
Yeah, it's we birth all the ideas, and we're like, wouldn't it be awesome if we had this?
And they're like, well, let's kind of execute this better than just this. And, you know, they work with us.
Right. So this has been a really cool part of a creative process for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, coming together like this.
Yeah.
Now, what does it mean for you guys when you say coming together like Voltron? And I know you've done this a million times yourselves, but to the rest of the Voltron fans out there, how do you say we're coming together like Voltron because it brought that from you? Or I mean, how did it make you feel?
Well, I mean, I think what it is, it's this feeling that, yes, you can accomplish a lot by yourself, but when you have people that are like-minded and love the same things as you, you can actually create something even larger and more amazing. And that's kind of, for me, that's what the idea of Voltron is, and coming together like Voltron. Team Unicorn, that's, you know, it's a thing. We know we're stronger together than we are apart.
Yeah, and, you know, with Voltron, they all pilot these individual robots, and that's super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come together, they have to... like be totally in sync to form this robot,
right.
And they have to be like the perfect definition of a team, because they're not just at that point individual parts going in and like taking down the big bad. They have physically come together to take down the big bad, and
right.
That is a true team right there. That's like the definition of teamwork. And
right.
That's what Team Unicorn tries to be about.
And there was an episode in that new Voltron Force cartoon where Daniel was one of the cadets and he was flying Black Lion. And he wasn't in sync with the rest of the team at all. And it really, really tore things up for them.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, individually, everyone's got certain skills. A certain skill set, or they bring something that's, you know, amazing to the group. But when you really try to do something somebody else is doing already, or something that's not true to you, then that's, you're right, it becomes out of sync. And, you know, doesn't end up so well. Always.
So looking back now on what you guys have produced over the years, are you saying, wow, I can't believe we did all that?
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly just an accident. Riley and I were just hanging out, having coffee one day, and we're like, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if we were in Star Wars? That's never going to happen because there was no more of the future of Star Wars. And we were like, let's have a lightsaber battle and film it. And we were never going to do anything with it. We were honestly just going to have it for ourselves to cherish forever. And then one day she called me and she was like, so I hope you don't mind, but I entered this into the Star Wars Fan Film Awards. And I was like, cool. And people loved it, and we won the Star Wars Fan Film Awards. We won 2 awards, which is very unusual. And then from there, like the next year, Riley was like, hey, I'm going to cosplay with these girls as the Sailor Scouts, and I know that you have a Sailor Moon costume. Why don't you cosplay with us? And I was like, okay. And it was the other girls of Team Unicorn that at that time wasn't Team Unicorn. It was just girls who liked each other and were into the same thing. So we all had such an amazing time doing the cosplay together as a group. We just became fast friends. And then immediately after that, creatively, it was like one of the girls, my Lynn, came up with the idea to parody California Girls as Geek and Gamer Girls. And people loved it so much, we were like, we should keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And we did.
Now, did people ask you to do a sequel to that?
Yeah, people have definitely wanted us to try to recreate the lightning in a bottle that happened with Geek and Gamer Girls. And you know, you never really know when something's going to hit and resonate with an audience or not. And we were very fortunate that first video was at a time when geek girls weren't as loud and proud, and we were an anthem for geek girls to be loud and proud and go for it.
Just what?
It just took off.
Oh, it just took off.
Yeah, and then, you know, the good thing, too, is, you know, the four of us, we are in entertainment. We're all actors and stuff. So it was great that we got to combine our geeky loves, because we're all nerds, and also
with our
professional skills. And, you know, people like it. So I hope they continue. I hope we continue to make good stuff.
All right, so other than the live-action movie for Voltron, is there anything else that you think we might be able to get from DreamWorks? DreamWorks is now in charge of the license, you know, because they bought Classic Media.
You know, personally, I would really love for someone out there to make quality, attainable Voltron costumes.
Okay.
If anybody wants to make me that.
All right, so there was a basic Voltron costume that came out from Ruby's. But I think it, yeah, you're right. It didn't have a certain,
you know,
quality that you need
Carrie
to have with
Keegan
costumes.
Keegan narrated a panel for you guys years ago, and a girlfriend of mine actually made her costume, her pink lion pilot costume.
Right.
And I have been coveting that costume for years. So I know that they're out there. I know that it's doable.
Right. So we would like more costumes.
Yes.
Okay, anything else?
A TV show. A live action television show. I would love that.
And a crossover with Team Unicorn.
And a crossover with Team Unicorn.
Do you know what? I would also like to really talk about the fact that Voltron Force, the coolest thing that they did, in my opinion, other than mythology and the magic of it all, I really enjoyed that the other lions also had special weapons that were specific to their skills. And we got to bust that out, or they are not a part of Voltron, but they got to bust that out, you know?
Right.
It was really cool seeing the other special weapons and seeing, like, Voltron use more than just a blazing sword. Not that I don't love the blazing sword, because it's the blazing sword. That was neat.
But, yeah, when they switched configurations, like the green lion, when the green lion became the center, it was the tech ninja Voltron with a boomerang shield.
So cool.
Yeah. And then when Red Lion became the center, it was the blazing guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, well, I want to thank you for joining us here at San Diego Comic-Con and talking about Voltron on Let's Voltron, the
Anytime.
Official Voltron podcast. And thank you, Ralia, for joining us.
Thanks for letting me crash.
Yeah. So, good luck with everything you have going on with Team Unicorn. And good luck with any acting, you know, roles that you get where you're doing the voices and everything. So, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Voltron. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And it doesn't end there, folks. What you just heard was the complete and unedited version of Claire Grant's interview. If you'd like to see what happened and how Rylia Vanderbilt, another Team Unicorn co-founder, podcrashed Let's Voltron, you can see the edited version at our YouTube channel. Follow the link on the notes page of this podcast at letsvoltron.com.
Voltron will be back after these messages.
Now for our second interview at San Diego Comic-Con. If you can remember back to episode 5, we talked to George San, the president of Toynami. At San Diego Comic-Con, George was flying the Voltron flag high and proud, with a 7-foot Voltron statue, 10-foot walls with Voltron images on them, and Comic-Con exclusives like the gold-plated 30th anniversary Voltron collector set. Only 500 were available. A very limited edition. You'll find out there's only one chance left to get one of those at New York Comic Con in this next segment. For podcast listeners only, you will get to hear the whole interview in its entirety with George San. We'll start with George showing us around the booth, talking about each of the Voltron collectibles for sale at the Toynami booth. This segment will also be available as a video on our YouTube channel, so you can see these beautiful Voltron collectibles, the statue, and the Toynami booth, all decked out in the colors of Voltron.
Well, it's just a display that we're having. It's a 7-foot Voltron based off of our jumbo 30th anniversary Voltron that we're releasing later this year. I thought it'd be nice to see something different. Last year, we actually displayed our 7-foot masterpiece Voltron that we had in previous shows, and I thought, well, let's focus on the big jumbo that we're releasing this year in 24-inch format. We just blew this up to 7 feet tall. And the fans are loving it. They had the opportunity to take photos in front of it, tweet it, Instagram it. We had a free pin, a 30th anniversary Voltron pin that we gave out to every fan who did take a photo with it. They were excited about that. You can walk on over and see the exclusive for the show.
Which is?
Yeah, this is the gold limited edition 30th anniversary gold edition for Comic-Con. Now, we don't specifically say that it's for San Diego only, because we plan to be attending the New York Comic-Con. So for those fans who, you know, want to be out in the East Coast who can't make it here, we hopefully will be out there in October. So come on out and see us. We did reserve a small quantity. There are only 500 of these, you know, in the world.
Okay.
We did save some for our international customers. In fact, this coming week, just in a day or two, starts the Anacon in Hong Kong. So the Hong Kong Comic Con technically is starting. We've reserved about 50 pieces for that show. And then in September, we have the Singapore Comic Con, which will have about 30 pieces there for sale. So it's not that much. I mean, we took the 500 and kind of, you know, spread it among many different shows. Anticipate about only 100 pieces reserved for New York.
Wow.
So if you're coming out to New York and you didn't get your 30th anniversary gold edition, that's your opportunity. But I would say come early, because those 100 will not last. They're already sold out here.
Would you say it's going to be gone within like in the first hour or something?
I think
like that,
sold the first 100 here in San Diego opening night.
Wow.
And that was 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I said, wow, we got to stop. If we sell more than 100, we still got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's why we reserved some back, and reserved some, you know, just for every day. And today we put out another, I don't know, I would say 2 dozen pieces, and that sold out very quickly.
Right.
I think it sold out by 9:30, and the show opened at 9.
Mm-hmm.
So very impressed.
Sounding like hotcakes, man.
Yeah, well, $300. It's a little bit higher than the normal edition. The normal edition retails for $225 to $250.
Right.
But everybody can understand it, especially gold plated, and there's only 500 of these in the world. I don't think anybody argued about it. You know, we're very happy. It did incredibly well, and we knew it would do very well.
Okay.
So should we look at the general stuff?
Yeah, let's look at. As we come around the booth here, we see the large images here. Who made all these?
Well, actually, we printed them, but they were all provided by us by our buddies at WEP. These are off of their style guide. You know, it was very helpful. I actually called them and said, hey, you have any good artwork that we can blow up just to wrap the booth around? And sure enough, we had these. They provided this to us. We just printed it out, you know, on our 10-foot wall display. Make sure you take a photo of these for the fans to see.
Yes.
So, we had a lot of kids stand in front of this, take a photo of it. And it's so nice to see even parents and, you know, adults who grew up with this now just reminisce about their childhood. It's quite nice.
They love the giant robots.
Oh, yeah. You know, giant robots is a big thing now.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of increase in interest in robots in general overall.
Would you say there was an increase since Pacific Rim came out?
I think it was triggered by Transformers, possibly, after the first movie about 3-4 years back. And then it just kind of, you know, slowly grew and grew and reached a point where now everybody's just robot crazy.
Yeah.
And Voltron, you know, definitely the king of them all.
Right.
Must, and to me, should always been one of those stapled robot characters that's an evergreen. You know, he's going to be famous forever.
Right. So let's talk about this, the 30th anniversary Voltron that's been out for a while now.
Yeah.
How's it doing?
It's
how's it
doing
selling?
Very well.
Is
it's
it?
Doing very good. In fact, we released the first shipment in March.
Okay.
And we shipped about 5,000 units.
Okay.
And those 5,000 were pre-sold prior to even before they hit our warehouse. So that was great. Then we started accumulating a huge back order of orders that we couldn't fulfill. And the next shipment actually started to trickle already in June. In July now. And the majority of it's going to be hitting the end of August. So you should see it another run of this in retail stores by September.
Okay.
Now, the good news is if you missed out in March and you have your opportunity this time around, we planned on making a final run of another 5,000 pieces by the end of October, November, before the end of the year.
That's the last ditch.
Yeah. Our promise to WEP as well to all the fans that since we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary, we will only manufacture this item for the year of the 30th anniversary. So whatever we could produce in 2014 was the run. We're not going to make this again in 2015 or 16, even though we have the license till then.
Right.
It's just that this item will be retired December 31st, 2014. So if you don't get it now, don't think it's coming back later or next year.
Right. Now, you mentioned the retail stores. What retail stores are you talking about?
Well, you know, it's funny. You can buy it everywhere from, like, there's some small brick-and-mortar stores, but if you're not around a collectible retail shop or a comic book chain store, you can definitely buy it from, like, Entertainment Earth, Big Bad Toy Store, even Amazon.com will carry it.
Wow.
And don't forget, The top place to get Voltron merchandise is Voltron.com.
Yeah. All right. So how about these little guys up here, the posable figures?
Yeah, this is really nice. I know we wanted to add another SKU into the 30th anniversary and get something out before the end of the year.
Right.
And we've done, you know, an 11-inch die-cast version. And we're producing a large jumbo 24-inch version. I don't want to jump to that. But we also wanted to make sure that we got something, you know, smaller. This is the lowest retail priced item for the 30th anniversary. It suggested retail is around $80 to $85.
Okay.
It'll be out in stores around November of this year. It's more of a die-cast, plastic, superposable, with light-up eyes, interchangeable face. It comes with three different faces. One serious look, one angry look, and even has a face with a little smirk.
And I got to tell you, just by looking at these things, it looks like one of those things that somebody would put on their office desk and then just love to play with all day long.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know it has all those little things going on with it.
No, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, if you didn't touch it, if you didn't pick it up and see all the cool gimmicks that were built into that, you probably think, oh, God, it's just some plastic action figure, you know, shouldn't cost any more than $20. Why is this thing $80?
Right.
Then once you get to play with it, once you see all the accessories, once you see, you know, how the eyes light up and you can change the expression and it's how it's fully posable and it also contains metal parts, you know, then you're like, wow, I can totally see why it's valued this. We anticipate selling thousands of these.
Okay.
And again, there will probably only do one run of this.
Okay.
So when they see this in October or November, you gotta grab it because this item will not be available after next year. I mean, if there's some on the shelves, that's fine. But Toynami, we are not going to manufacture it.
Gotcha. All right, yeah. Let's talk about the Big Daddy.
Yeah, that's right. My favorite right here.
Here we go.
Now, you know, a lot of people could argue with me and say, hey, George, you know, why doesn't it transform? Why doesn't it disassemble? That's the whole thing with Voltron.
Yeah.
But if you remember as a kid, I mean, and I'm sure many of them did, or two, Japan originally released a piece that was kind of a jumbo machinder.
Right.
It was basically made out of Blomo PE material, polyethylene, and it had rolling wheels. Oh, actually, that one didn't have wheels. It didn't even have a shooting fist. And I said, "Oh man, you know, they should make it that way."
Right.
And then when LJN in the 80s brought that back and put it on a remote control platform, I was like, "Oh great, they're bringing that back." Why is it stuck to a remote control platform? That's just,
yeah,
you know, and it's a wired remote.
Right, you got to walk along with it.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, shoot, does it even shoot the fist? Oh, it doesn't even do that. Okay, so I said, you know, one day, if I ever had the opportunity to do one like this, I would put all the things I wanted in there. So I carried over some other characteristics of the traditional jumbo machinder. I added the wheels underneath. Because that was the whole thing about that collection. It all had wheels, and they always either had missiles or either a fist that would shoot. And I said, oh, we got to do that for Voltron. We got to do the shooting fist because he did that in the cartoons.
Right.
So, in this version, both the red and the green fist do shoot their fist. I mean, the lions do fire out of the arms.
Right.
And they do have wheels underneath so that you can slide it along for freewheeling action.
All right, so when are we talking about this being available?
I'm trying to get this out for fourth quarter right now before Christmas. It does have a retail price of about $250. It is limited. I'll probably do a one-time run, very limited, of only 2,000 pieces in the world. And that's pretty much it. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, you've got an excellent display here at the Toynami booth at San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. Thank you.
And now for our exclusive interview with George Son for podcast listeners only.
Now, back to Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Here we are at the Toynami booth at San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm here with George Sohn. Welcome, George.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. It's a pleasure.
It is so nice to meet you in person, finally, after having the interview back in January.
Yeah, that's right. That was interesting. I think that's the first time I did a podcast by Skype.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
And the best thing about it was we could have kept on going for more hours and more hours and more hours just talking about giant robots and Voltron and everything.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. If you had come to interview me directly in my office, you would have seen 800 robots in my office because I'm a huge robot collector.
How big is your office?
Well, it's not about a matter of size. I jam-pack every single robot on the shelves. I've got display cases of it. And you know, everything loose is a double because I have to have everything mint in package. So I probably have 1,600 robots because I have to have them in the original package as well. It's amazing.
Okay.
I'll send you a photo one day.
Oh, that'd be great. All right, so we went around and we took a look at all the Voltron merchandise that you're selling here. What else do you sell here as well?
Well, we represent a few other lines. You know, Voltron is the main push this year, considering it's the 30th anniversary. But we are building up some momentum right now for the Robotech line, another one of my 80s favorite cartoons. Next year, for 2015, we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of Robotech. Mm-hmm. So we're doing some soft launches this year with some exclusives, and then we'll probably roll out with 25 to 30 different SKUs for next year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we look forward to celebrating that with Harmony Gold, mm-hmm. Another partner, the copyright holder of Robotech. Mm-hmm. And besides Robotech and Voltron, we also have We're also selling Futurama this year. Unfortunately, Futurama, this will be our final year. We represented that brand for about 6 to 7 years now, had a beautiful relationship, but we just have to just move on to other things. So there's Futurama. We also have the license for Hello Kitty Street Fighter. We also represent another license called Skull Animals, which has done very well for us. And this year we signed on a new deal with Warner Brothers and Toho for classic Godzilla merchandise. So we're coming out with some really cool Godzilla products that all the fans can check up online. You know, another nostalgic brand of my childhood. If you can notice on the specific things that I go after, it's usually things I kind of grew up with or things I really, you know, remember as a child. We're not doing movie product. For Godzilla, we're actually doing classic stuff.
Right. Did you get to see the new movie? I saw it twice.
You know, I got to be honest. I was in Hong Kong when the movie came out. Being in the manufacturing business, I'm all over the world, either in Shanghai, Hong Kong. We have offices all over the place. And unfortunately, that time I had to go to Asia, and I didn't see it. But a friend of mine there had saw it already. And he was a big, big Godzilla otaku. And he goes, George, I know you're a Godzilla fanatic, but you might as well catch that movie on the plane. And I was like, what? Are you kidding? And I already knew what that meant. So I was like, oh, God, don't tell me. Really, was that that bad? I hope not, because I was really having good hopes for it. But, of course, I didn't see it, so I can't really make or assess, you know, that directly. This is just what friends have told me about it. It's like, oh, just Netflix that later. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it twice.
Oh, then you must have loved it.
Well, it wasn't so much that I loved it, yeah. But we had planned on meeting with friends to do it. So some of the friends couldn't go. So I went with a portion of my friends to see it the first time. And then when I went the second time, I went with a different portion of friends.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case for me too. I mean, I don't have the luxury of really having time to go out. If I do go out see movies, they're usually with my family, my boys. I have three boys. And also, you know, my wife gets a good veto into what the movies are. And she's like, monster movie? Nah. So I'm like, okay, no Godzilla. But anyway, this time around, I couldn't see it anyway because I was traveling. But I look forward to eventually seeing it.
Okay, so with the classic Godzillas that you have here, what types of things do you sell?
Well, we're debuting, you know, one of the IPs we own is the Shogun Warrior brand, and I am rebooting that with a whole collection of new robots, because I'm a robot junkie, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what I am bringing back, since we also have acquired the Godzilla rights, is the old Shogun Warrior Godzilla.
Oh, wow. A lot of people are going to go wild for that.
Yeah, you know, I always wanted one as a kid, and I have to tell you, I never had one, only because, you know, I just grew up in a different type of. I really struggled in my childhood. It was a bittersweet thing. I look back and I think, you know, whether we were immigrants and whether we were poor, indirectly, it's made me a better man of who I am today. Mm-hmm. And although my parents couldn't buy a toy like that at the time, I always wanted to have one. And so later in life, after I made a lot of money, I went back buying all these toys. So all these robots and all these toys and all these collections that I have now, I really didn't acquire until after I, you know, started making a living. And then going to auctions and going to, you know, toy shows and antique shows and just buying collections out like $80,000, $100,000 at a time. And so that's how I accumulated such a huge, you know, toy collection now. But back to the Godzilla Shogun Warrior, I said, wow, you know, this is an opportunity to make a Godzilla and bring back that retro, you know, shooting fist and rolling wheels and flicking tongue like I remembered from my childhood. I was like,
right.
My friend, my neighbor had one, and I was like, oh gosh, Brian, you know, my friend Brian had one. I was like, Brian, I got to, can I come over to just play with your Godzilla? And at the time, I'd be honest with you, I thought it was kind of funny that Godzilla had a shooting fist.
Yeah.
And I look back at that now, and now I understand. I mean, that was the whole gimmick of the whole Shogun Warrior thing. They all had, like, shooting missiles, shooting fists. They all had, like, wheels underneath their feet, you know? And I was like,
does Godzilla have wheels underneath his feet? But I, you know, as I grew up, I figured it all out, and I was like, oh, I love it now. And I, you know, I've collected a ton of those old ones, and I said, hey, let's make a really nice one. So the one we have at our booth here is based off the 1964 Godzilla versus Mothra. It just got approved by Warner Brothers and Toho, so we're very ecstatic about it. We're going to start production, and hopefully we'll have it for fourth quarter.
Okay. All right. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you at New York Comic Con.
Yes. In October.
Right, in October. And we're looking forward to some of the exclusives you might have there. What other exclusives besides the Voltron ones we were talking about?
Well, I did. The only reason we're going to have some Voltron for New York is because we reserved some for there. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to take some Golden Benders that we have here, but unfortunately, that completely sold out. Mm-hmm. Anything different wise? I don't think we will have anything new, well, as of yet,
okay,
that we can announce for New York Comic Con. But they could anticipate seeing, obviously, the Voltron. We have a VF-1S Robotech that we'll bring in for New York as well. We'll have some Hello Kitty coin banks that we had sold out here, brought down to New York. And so we'll have some, at least those three for the show. And if we have anything left over, we'll definitely bring it down for you, your East Coast, you know, fans.
Okay. Now, while you're at the show, do you ever have any time to go out on the floor and check out things for yourself?
I usually do that the last 2 hours on Sunday. So luckily, you're my last appointment. So you'll know what I'll be doing after this. I'll actually have the chance to walk around and look at the shows. And sometimes, it's nice because I like to go not just see what other exhibitors are doing, but I like to walk down Artist Alley just to see if there's any good artist out there. I found, that's how I came across Scalanimals many years ago. You know, Mitchell Bernal had a little table. He was trying to sell his books and postcards and things of that nature, and I really fell in love with that. And one thing led to the next. We ended up taking his license, and after, you know, few million dollars later, it became a huge brand, and I think by 2008 it was like it did over $30 million in retail. So, you know, you never know who you meet. You know, I too have done this show since 1990. I mean, before even it came to the Comic-Con here at the convention, it was in the Town and Country. But in 1991, I think it was just in Hall A with four or five rows and maybe 40-50 tables. It was a very intimate, small show. You knew everybody. So, I mean, even after two decades, well, here I am. I was, and prior to that, I was just a fan walking the floor like everyone else.
Right.
And it's amazing to see how, you know, you can just grow from that, being a fan and, you know, being a retailer, being a distributor, and then now being a manufacturer, and you've just kind of moved up on the pyramid. And it's great to touch bases with the fans that you only see once a year at the show.
Right.
They come out, they smile, they laugh, they just look forward to seeing you again and telling you how much they love the toys. And it's great to be able to put smiles back on people's faces and remind them about all their childhood memories. And I think I have the greatest job in the world, really.
Yeah. You know what's nice? Is going around and either having Voltron on you, like your clothing or something like that, or carrying a Voltron or something like that, and just people walking up to say, I loved Voltron. Yeah. Does that happen to you all the time?
Oh, all the time. I had a guy the other day just across the aisleway come up to me and says, oh my gosh, your 30th anniversary Voltron is so amazing. You know, do you mind if I just take a photo with you? I was like, holy crap, how does this guy even know who I am? And I'm thinking to myself, how does this guy know who I am? Okay, I got a Toynami shirt, maybe that's it, but it could have been one of any of my employees.
Right.
Of course, and he looks down, he sees my name on my badge, your son, and then he takes a photo with me, and all of a sudden he goes, you know, I have your 20th anniversary, and I have that certificate in a frame. And I said, oh, yeah, I signed the certificates of authenticity on the 20th anniversary, so that's why he knows of me. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, it's quite flattering, you know. It's like you say, sometimes, you know, people recognize you for what you wear or for what you do. And either way, you know, that sort of gratification is quite satisfying.
Yeah, I was at the part where you have it on display in the glass cases just 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was standing next to me saying, too bad it's not like the diecast that they had all those years ago. And I had to tell the guy, it is diecast.
Yeah,
there might be some plastic pieces on it, but it's diecast. Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, I've seen a lot of people come to the show and they look at that and they say, hey, you know, I had that as a kid. He goes, oh, and you know, they're talking to their friends. And then he goes, oh, really? Is it the same one? He goes, oh, it's exactly the same one. And, you know, I didn't want to burst their bubble, but I was like, no, it's not really exactly the same one as your childhood. You know, we totally remade this. If you took a photo of the 1980s Bandai version and you put it next to our Toonami version, you can literally see the differences. You know, and everybody's thinking, oh, are you just remaking the molds? I'm like, are you kidding? We totally redesigned this from top to bottom. But I guess we did such a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they keep thinking, oh, yeah, that's what it was. And another thing I like, Mark, is it's like, oh, I had one of these. Oh, but mine was so much bigger when I was a kid. It was like double the size. And I was like, no. It was exactly the same size. But I guess the perception is when you're younger, you always think of it, oh, it was so big, and you're carrying it. Now
obviously.
That you're big, everything is smaller, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So let's talk Voltron over 30 years, okay? So you started as a fan. What year did you start as a fan?
Well, let's see. Well, of course, you know, walking home, 1980. I remember in 84, 85, just watching it on TV and then trying to figure out how to get my VCR to work. And at that time, we didn't actually have a VCR. My dad had one of those Sony Betas, I think they were called. The smaller cassettes.
Right, Betamax.
Yeah, there you go, Betamax. And I was like, God, this thing's so complicated. How do you get this thing to work? And my dad, you know, I remember yelling at me once because I had recorded over something he had recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, Dad, I thought you had watched that already. Can I just have a tape on my own so I can record my own shows? So sure enough, he gave me a tape. He showed me how to work it. And I used to run home and videotape that and videotape Robotech. And it was the mid-80s, you know, that I remember watching that. And it just kind of... It was instilled in me, and it got stuck in my childhood. It's like I'm a total 80s guy, Mark. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't I can't live out of that generation. Everything I do is so 80s, you know? And so...
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, right? Is there a real club for the 80s?
Yeah, there's an 80s
club.
Oh,
God, I got to sign up for that, you know? Because I listen to 80s music. I just, like, I can't get enough of that. And so, therefore, you know, when I had the opportunity, I think in the late 90s, early 2000, I started my company. And the first thing I went after was Robotech. And that was only because I knew who was the licensor, who had the rights to Robotech. And so I did that. And I was busy with that for a couple years. And then I had the opportunity to go back and do all these other properties I grew up with, like Dundar the Barbarian, the Herculoids, the Galaxy Trio... what do we do? What else? Space Ghost, Blue Falcon, Birdman, all these classics I watched on TV as a kid. I was like, oh, let's do toys for that. Since, hey, I own my own toy company, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of got into my business, just doing stuff I loved as a kid and stuff that I didn't see toys of. I never saw a Herculoids toy set ever.
Yeah.
So I said, I know this is from 67, but hell, we got to make this. And sure enough, it was a great thing because there was a lot of guys like me who ended up buying it and remembering it as when they were little. And to this day, it's a huge collectible.
Right.
But, you know, we started migrating into that. And then there was Voltron one day. And I was like, wow, if I only knew who had the rights to Voltron...
Back then, it was hard to find out who had it, right?
It was so hard. I mean, Google really, really, really wasn't around. I mean, yeah, it was starting, but it was like that kind of information really like didn't come up online. They didn't have a phone number. It just, I had to ask some friends who knew a friend, and all of a sudden, I read an article about something, and at the bottom, it had a little copyright of WEP, and I was Googling WEP. I was like, what is WEP? What does this stand for? What does WEP stand for? And blah, blah, blah. And then finally I came across a company called World Event Productions. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, Jesus, why didn't they just say World Event Productions in the beginning? So then, you know, a little phone call here. I mean, tracing it down. Then I found out they were a St. Louis company. Then I had to, you know, call information and get that number. And one thing led to the next. And I made a phone call, got across to a lady called Tiffany Ilardi, who is now one of my best friends. And Tiffany, you know, picked up the phone and I told her who I was. I told her I was a toy company. I wanted to do toys. And she's like, okay, but this is a, you want to, you know, it's like an old property from the 80s, right? It's like, we don't have a show or anything now. I mean, you sure we're talking about the right property?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is a property. Four Blazing Sword, Five Lions come together, right? That's
right.
You guys. Well, yeah, but there's like been no activity. I'm like, no, that's okay because this is what I do. I also had the license at the time for Speed Racer, you know, so we did Speed Racer, we did Mac, we did Robotech. Now I said, oh God, we got to do Voltron. And sure enough, one thing led to the next. We ended up meeting, I sent in a proposal. We might have met at licensing show or something like that, and we had a great conversation. And, you know, I pitched her an idea of what I wanted to make, and she let me go roll with it. They were so happy to actually get product and merchandise back on the market after so many years. You know,
right.
I think Matchbox was the last company that ever produced anything for them.
Right.
And I said, great. Well, then I'm your man. Let's do this. And then, of course, we came out with the 20th anniversary in the Masterpiece book packaging, and that was a great success. We made 15,000 of those and sold out. And then we made a collector's gift set that was just in plastic, and that did incredibly well. And then 5 years later, there was the 25th anniversary, and we're like, wow, okay, let's take the plastic. I didn't want to ever do the diecast again because it was in the Masterpiece book. So for the 25th, we ended up taking the plastic version and doing a metallic paint operation on it. So that's why we have, that's the third version. The plastic with the metallic paint is the 25th anniversary. And then, of course, we sold out of that. And then I had a friend one day, Stephanie, at Reebok, old friend of mine, and I had sent, she was a Voltron fan. I sent her one of the Voltron pieces, and she put it on her desk. And all of a sudden, you know, all the guys were so jealous of her. Going, oh, my God, where'd you get this Voltron? She goes, oh, my friend George, he made it.
Mm-hmm.
He owns a company called Toynami, blah, blah, blah. Next thing led to the next, her boss came in and said, wait a second, you know, I got a great idea. Let's talk to George and see if we could do a line of 80s vintage shoes. And so I ended up the conversation talking through my friend Stephanie at Reebok, and I talked to her boss, I think John, or I can't remember his name at the time, but we ended up conceptualizing the idea of coming out with the black shoes for the black line, a red shoes, and then they would select what it would be, if it was like running pumps or it would be like, you know, basketball pumps or whatever.
Right.
And they selected that. They selected color themes. I said, you know what? Let me run this by WEP. We can even get the license to do this.
Uh-huh.
So I called Tiffany back, and I'm like, hey, Tiffany, you know, I got an idea. And she's like, What is it? And it goes, do you mind if we license a shoe company? You got a shoe company? He goes, no. I said, well, I got a friend at Reebok. They want to take a license to do shoes, and they want to put a lion Voltron, one of the lion, each corresponding color lion, into their shoes. So this way, they would have to sell all five shoes so they can combine it to make Voltron. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
She's like, are you talking about Reebok?
Yeah.
The same Reebok company? I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the Reebok company. She's like, oh my God, have them call me, please.
Yeah.
So that's how the Reebok deal happened. So that's actually the fourth rendition of the Voltron.
And if you talk to Voltron collectors today, there's still, you know, there's an aftermarket for that right now.
That's a tough cookie to find, only because, you know, we made 15,000. I don't think I ever went on the record to say what was made. But, you know, we made 15,000, and everybody knew that because it was limited to 15,000 Masterpiece Collection. It came with a certificate of authenticity and individually numbered. So not everybody knows it's 15,000. I mean, for the plastic rendition, I don't remember that number. I mean, it must have been thousands and thousands of those because they were cheap. They were $80 retail, unlike the $150 die-cast Masterpiece.
Right.
And then when the 25th anniversary came along, we did the metallic paint version. But that was just a short window for that year. So there's not really a lot of 25th anniversary editions out there.
Right.
And then there's only about 3,000, or I would say 2,500
Reebok editions. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Reebok Voltron, that might be the most coveted Voltron robot of all. Only because you had to go buy these $160 pair of shoes to get the shoes and the lion. So, I mean, gosh, how much would you have to spend? I guess $700-$800?
Exactly.
Just to acquire the complete Voltron?
Right.
Yeah, and then only having $2,500? I mean, and then on top of that, like, how many people are going to buy five pairs?
Right.
So I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there who bought the black pumps, have the black lion, but they don't have the blue lion. Or the yellow lion, you know, the blue lion was a woman's pair of shoes.
Uh-huh.
So if you bought that, you were either
a
woman or a collector.
Right.
Right? So I really wonder, out of the 2,500 possible sets, how many people really have a complete set?
Uh-huh.
They had to be the uber hardcore, had to buy all five pairs of shoes to make that happen.
Right.
Yeah. So that might be pretty tough. That might be even more rare than the 500 golden Voltrons that we're doing for the 30th anniversary here.
Right.
Because I don't know if there's even 500 complete sets out of the 2,500 Reebok, you know, sets
right.
that we made. So,
still available.
Still available, yeah. Those pair of shoes are going for a lot of money.
Right.
And, I mean, the toys in it is tough to find. So if any Voltron collector out there, I mean, if you don't have the Reebok Voltron, then your collection is not complete.
Right. Well, I wanted to thank you for letting us talk to you here at San Diego Comic-Con.
Hey,
it's been a wonderful thrill. And I can tell I can tell the passion that you have for Voltron, for giant robots, for all the things that you make here at Toynami.
This is what I always dreamed of doing. I always, you know, first of all, it was because I didn't have any toys as a kid.
Okay.
And, you know, being an immigrant from Vietnam and coming here after the war, I don't think a lot of people know my background. I didn't come up privileged. I slept in a floor in an apartment, and my parents had multiple jobs just to make ends meet. And indirectly, that caused me to be the person I am today, that I was so obsessed with toys that I had any chance. Or my first job, I remember working at an art gallery doing custom framing, and across the street was a Toys R Us. Hell, I blew the whole paycheck at Toys R Us. You know, I was like, oh my God. And I went through this toy binge that didn't stop. And to this day doesn't stop. And that's why my collection's like maybe $2.6 million now. And
wow.
It's just like, I just keep buying to the point where I'm like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? They're going to have to bury me in a tomb with all this, you know, all this toys or something. I can't take it with me.
You're not going to pass it down to your children?
They would probably think, oh yeah, you know, it's nothing. You know, I've got like 6,000 comic books. Everything from Amazing Fantasy 14, First Spider-Man, X-Men 1, Spider-Man 1. I mean, you name it, I've got it. And, you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, you want to read this comic book, but be very careful. And they would just, you know, flip through the books like, oh my God, you know, you don't understand. This is like a $40,000 book. You know, you got to be very careful with this. They were little then, you know. All my boys are big now, going to college, and bless their heart, I love them to death. And I'm sure one day they'll do the right thing when I'm gone, and they'll know, hey, you know, Dad worked hard for this, and we'll find something to do, or we'll, you know, we'll pass it on, hopefully.
Well, thanks again for joining us here and on the Let's Voltron podcast, and we hope to see you at New York.
Absolutely, looking forward to seeing you there, Mark.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
George is certainly a passionate Voltron fan, and we are lucky he is carrying the Voltron license for Toynami. Now, San Diego Comic-Con did not have any Voltron panels. What, no Voltron panels? In its 30th anniversary? Well, fear not. Voltron will be celebrating his 30th anniversary on September 10th. We will let you know the details when they become available. And New York Comic Con is promising to have special Voltron celebrations as well. As some of you already know, pre-orders are available for the Voltron book on Amazon. It's also available on Walmart, Barnes & Noble, and many book retailers around the world. Voltron, from days of long ago, a 30th anniversary celebration. It's the most complete book ever made about Voltron. It will become your reference manual, an encyclopedia, a compendium. Pre-order pricing as low as $21. Perfect Square, the children's publishing arm of Viz Media, has big plans for promoting this book, especially at New York Comic Con. The book will be available everywhere on October 28th. And as an added bonus, we have a special announcement for Voltron fans who appreciate the limited edition screen prints from Acid Free Gallery. There's a new print releasing Friday, August 8th by artist James White. Check out the notes page of this podcast to see what it looks like on letsvoltron.com. Release details will be available on Facebook at Acid Free Gallery or the official Voltron page or Let's Voltron. That wraps it up for a very exciting week at San Diego Comic-Con, Voltron style. Special thanks go out to Franklin Kofod, Claire Grant, Rylea Vanderbilt, and George Son. On the next episode of Let's Voltron, we'll be talking to Chris Wofford from Acid Free Gallery to talk about past, present, and future Voltron limited edition screen prints. See you next week on
Let's Voltron!